Welcome to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out this week. And this Friday, we're taking a deep dive into the politics of pot. That's right, marijuana. So much happening right now when it comes to the issue of cannabis here in the Sunshine State. Later, we'll tell you why the state's new hemp law is causing confusion when it comes to marijuana prosecutions. Also, can supporters of full legalization get an amendment on the 2020 ballot? That's coming up, too. But first this hour, a state lawmaker has filed a bill that would decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. Representative Chevron Jones, Democrat of Broward County, is behind this measure. It would update Florida law to state that possession or delivery of fewer than 20 grams of cannabis or 600 milligrams or less of THC in cannabis products would be considered a non-criminal offense, essentially no jail time. Representative Jones joins us now from WMFE Studios in Orlando. Representative Jones, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And here's our question to Florida. Do you agree with Chevron Jones that no one in the state should go to jail if they have a small amount of marijuana in their possession? We're going to start off with that question here on the Florida Roundup. Call us up wherever you are in the state. It's 305-995-1800. Tweets to at Florida Roundup, and we'll get to all of your comments shortly. Representative Jones, what motivated you to file this bill?
Well, first of all, I believe that the time is now that we look at criminal justice reform. And this is really just a continuation of the criminal justice reform that we started within the state last year, considering that for far too long, we've had a broken criminal justice system that clearly compels law enforcement to focus on small infractions like using marijuana instead of focusing on severe violent crimes. Currently in the state of Florida, as you stated in the beginning, it's considered a crime, and this bill takes the current law, amend it so that people with less than 20 milligrams aren't going through hoops in our justice system. If you look at Broward County has an ordinance to give police the option to issue small citations that has incremental fines. And so right now, if we could give our local governments the autonomy to be able to make that decision on how to handle these nonviolent crimes and begin to unclog our criminal justice system in Florida, why not move in this direction and continue on the work that we've been doing in the state of Florida like we did last year?
The push to decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana has been taking hold, honestly, across the country. And because of the arguments you're putting forth, what data do you have to show that prosecuting suspects who are facing these possession charges is, as you said, gumming up the works of the state's criminal justice system?
Well, when we look at this, there was a 2015 report from the Sentencing Project that estimated that Black Americans are 3.7 times as likely to be arrested for marijuana possession as their white counterparts, but only 1.3 times as likely to even use pot. But then we go a step further. We look at how, maybe like in Miami-Dade County. Miami-Dade County has a similar ordinance that Broward County has, but what we found through my reading and through just me doing research on House Bill 25, it's clear that although they have the option to give citations, whites are getting the citations while Blacks are getting incarcerated. So it's if we want to look at what we're talking about when it comes to decriminalizing marijuana, there is no parity that's happening right now within our states. I mean, within our cities, who already have these ordinances. So why not the state move forward in a direction to where not only we give an option, but we give a framework in how that looks.
And so through this mechanism of decriminalizing marijuana, is it fair to say your bill also gets at the deeper problems and the institutional racism critics say is woven throughout the system? Is that part of this effort?
Absolutely. It's definitely a part of this effort. But I also don't want to leave out one aspect that's in this bill, and that's dealing with our juveniles. And I must give a shout out to Christian Miner and the Florida Juvenile Justice Association and the One Behavior Health Association, because that is a measure that they are helping me on to ensure that our young people are given a second chance. Because currently now, if we are giving felonies to youth, and they have a record, this hinders them from getting financial aid. This hinders them from getting a job. And now we begin a cycle where we are about to place them into this criminal justice cycle that we currently have in Florida. So when we talk about institutional racism, and when we talk about this being a black and white issue, which it should not be, we have to begin to look at this from a holistic standpoint when we're talking about criminal justice reform and these nonviolent crimes.
Let me ask you as well, Representative Jones, some who advocate legalizing recreational marijuana use in Florida say decriminalizing small amounts doesn't go far enough. Do you agree with that? Are you in favor of legalization?
I can say this, that I am in favor of legalizing and taxing marijuana. But I know for a fact
full legalization.
Full legalization. Mm-hmm. I'm all in favor of full legalization and taxing marijuana. But what I don't want to do is confuse that to what we're trying to do right now. But because I do know this, if Mr. John Morgan will have it his way in 2020, I believe the people of Florida will go with full legalization of marijuana because it's gaining a lot of steam as we speak. But I believe in the full legalization of marijuana. I believe that we should tax it. But because we're not there right now, why not deal with what we have in our hand right now? Why not deal with decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana because it is considered a nonviolent crime? Let's start there and allow the people to decide in 2020 about the full legalization of marijuana.
As you just pointed out, the push to legalize marijuana in the state for recreational use did get a big boost this week from high-profile Orlando attorney John Morgan. Morgan, of course, is credited with helping to legalize medical marijuana by advocating for and helping to fund Amendment 2, which passed in 2016. Morgan is now saying, let's legalize the drug for recreational use. We would join about 11 other states if we did that in Florida. Okay, here's the state agriculture commissioner, Nikki Fried. She was asked this week if Florida was ready for recreational marijuana to be legal.
Now, everybody's hearing the stories of how medical marijuana is helping people. It is helping people get off of their opiates, getting, you know, a better quality of life, is more safe than all the other pharmaceutical drugs that are out there. And so you're changing the climate and acceptance of the marijuana plant itself.
Joining us now to discuss the move to legalize all the way in Florida is Dara Kam. She's the senior reporter for News Service of Florida with us from WFSU in Tallahassee. Dara, thanks for being with us. A majority of Floridians say they are okay with marijuana legalization. Has the tide turned on this issue in the state, do you think?
Well, you know, I think that certainly the tide has turned in terms of the public sentiment towards marijuana in general over the past 5 years or so. I still believe that Florida is not ready for full legalization. And one of the reasons that I say that is because if we see some group like the sheriffs, the police chiefs, law enforcement, if we see some groups come out to fight against it, I think that would really undermine the efforts to have this constitutional amendment passed next year. Many Republicans that I've spoken with have said, you know, this is still an experiment that we are working on with the medical marijuana. Let's see how this goes before we go for full legalization. And so I think it is true that public attitudes towards marijuana have changed and significantly. And as you know, in Florida, more than 70% of Floridians approved Amendment 2 for medical use. But I just don't see the state as being ready for full legalization. I did speak with John Morgan 2 days ago, and he is not going to unfold his wallet to help the legalization effort on the constitutional in terms of the 2020 ballot. But he said that he would use his bully pulpit and he would use what he learned from his 2016 effort with medical to try to help propel this over the line. I'm very skeptical about whether it could pass next year.
Right. And it's more difficult now to get an amendment on the ballot. A far higher number of signatures needed.
That's
right. Lots of money. It would be quite a heavy lift to even get this before the voters, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. And it's not just, I mean, the legislature this year changed the, imposed new restrictions on the petition gathering process that have made it even more expensive. And I think the rule of thumb is about now, I think that people who run these initiatives estimate that it costs about $5 to $6 million to get something on the ballot and passed. And I think this could, what they've done with the restrictions, with the people who gather the signatures and the reporting requirements, could even double that amount.
Let's go to some calls now. Lots of calls coming in from all over the state as we talk about the changing politics of marijuana in Florida. It's 305-995-1800. Let your voice be heard. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. Dan is in Merritt Island. We'll start off with you, Dan. Happy Friday. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm a physician, and I've worked with people on who are using medical marijuana, and I've also seen its effects in states that have legalized it. And I think it's considerably safer than most of our prescription drugs. I really don't think the medical marijuana program is necessary. We should simply legalize it. But I do think that the law enforcement community is opposed to this because marijuana is such a source of court fees and fines. And I also agree with the last comment from your guest that the Florida legislature has made the amendment process much more difficult, which I think is it's really damaging Florida's democracy. I mean, the people of Florida have a chance to speak on this, and the legislature is making it impossible for them to do so. Thank you very much.
All right, Dan. Representative Jones, what about Dan's comments there? What do you think?
I totally agree. I totally agree with Dan's comments that in the last legislative session that my colleagues, they crippled democracy by putting this into law to make it harder for Floridians' voices to be heard. We should never be in a position to where we are crippling democracy. And so I fully agree with him.
Brandon in Plantation, Florida. Hello, Brandon. What are your thoughts about cannabis?
Hi, I'd like to ask the guest how Child Protective Services plays into the legalization of marijuana, because federally it's a Schedule I drug. So does this at all impact the ability of CPS to rehouse a child should there be a complaint and they show up to a parent's house with a search warrant and find small amount of recreational marijuana? And is there the ability of the Florida legislature to do something about this?
That's an excellent question, Brandon. Thanks for that. Representative Jones, what about that, given that state laws are changing rapidly around this issue, but at the federal level, as he pointed out, cannabis is still considered a Schedule I narcotic. So what about that kind of scenario?
And you know what? That is something that came up last year in the legislature. That is clear that although we changed these laws in our state, that there are some federal laws that need to be looked at. More specifically, how marijuana is currently listed as a Schedule I drug in the federal government. We spoke about it last year. We have not spoken about it in detail to figure out how that looks. But I understand what the caller is saying. But I will say this. I will say that as a state, if we begin moving the needle, Florida has taken a lead on a lot of things that the federal government has looked at and moved their own needles based on that. So I believe once we start moving and the federal government see that we're on this path of criminal justice reform, I believe everything else will start getting looked at. And that's including how marijuana is currently looked at in the federal government as a Schedule I drug. So we have to start. We have to start somewhere and moving the needle.
Here's a tweet from Mark. He says, we have a good framework for our medical marijuana program. Why not focus on making it more accessible for people to get into it and more affordable for patients to get their medications? Lots of calls as well. Alan is on the line in Orlando. Hey, Alan. How are you? Go ahead.
Hey, I'm good. Yourself?
Good, thanks. Thanks for calling the show.
All right. Yeah, no problems. I just want to say a couple of things. Mr. Jones, I think it's a mistake to say that juveniles are getting felonies for having misdemeanor amounts of cannabis. Under 20 grams is a misdemeanor already. It's not a felony. So that's number one. And I also don't know of any groups of law enforcement that are targeting small amounts of cannabis. It's usually a bycatch. You know, you stop somebody for another offense, you stop them for another crime, and they happen to have on them the misdemeanor amount of cannabis. So I don't think there's any great task forces out there that are not focusing on violent crime. I think that's a bit of a misunderstanding.
Are you a police officer, Alan?
I am, yes.
Okay. All right. Representative Jones, can you answer his question there? How about that?
Well, let's be currently now nationally, 1 in 11 middle and high school students reported using a e-cigarette or for marijuana, hash oil, or wax. And so that's the facts. And when we look at the statistics of young people who are being arrested because of such, many of them are being charged with felonies on their records because of this, and they're being arrested within the schools. I know this because I have someone within my household who found themselves on the other end of this situation. So I hear what the caller is saying, but I know what's happening in South Florida. I know what young people are being charged with, and these type of things are being placed on their records.
Go ahead, Dara. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about the issue of juveniles and marijuana use, because that was something, Representative Jones, that also did come up during the legislative session. The Republican leaders, the House Speaker Jose Oliva and his successor, Representative Chris Sprouls, are both very concerned about the potential impacts of marijuana use on the developing brain. And that is something that they have pointed to as a reason, I think, or as a concern about use of medical marijuana for young people, for minors. And I think that that is another reason that it would be a heavy lift to decriminalize across the board marijuana, because I think that the Republican leadership would be concerned that it would make it easier for children to get access to it.
And to be clear, though, your bill, Representative Jones, is for the decriminalization of small amounts. I just want to make sure people understand the difference there. And Dara's also raising some important points about the difficult politics of this. And we hope to keep you both with us, because there are so many people waiting on hold to weigh in, tweeting, emailing the show.
Sorry.
It's such a hot topic as we talk about the
world of Potlandia. Well,
that's right. That's right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Get on the line now at 305-995-1800. The changing tides around marijuana here in Florida. More to come next from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out today. And for the full hour this Friday, we are talking about the growing acceptance of marijuana in Florida. Everything from the push to decriminalize possession of small amounts of the drug to the movement to legalize it for recreational use. Let's take a few more calls before we go to our next guest. Ken is on the line in Lake City. Hey, Ken, what are your thoughts?
Hi.
Hey.
As a former nurse, way back in the 90s, the early 90s, I gave Marinol to cancer patients in nursing homes. I think that the decision as to whether or not to accept medical marijuana should be up to the individual under individual rights. In regards to the legalization question, I would weigh in and say that that depends on how the voting goes, as well as the politics of each state. And it comes down to states' rights in regards to the state issue of whether or not you're going to allow marijuana to be decriminalized for recreational use.
So it sounds like you think the people should get to vote on that?
Sure. Why not?
All right. That's Ken in Lake City. Thanks for your thoughts, Ken. Attorney Sally Kent Peebles is a partner at Vicente Cederberg, a national marijuana law firm. They provide legal and policy services to cannabis and hemp businesses. Sally also serves on the state's Florida Medical Cannabis Advisory Committee. Sally, were you surprised to learn that Orlando attorney John Morgan came out in support of the ballot push to get marijuana legalized next year for recreational use?
Not surprised at all, and I have to say very excited that he is now on board. As you know, there have been a few recreational marijuana pushes by other campaigns that haven't really gained traction, most likely because they didn't have the funding for that. So with Morgan jumping on board, while he said he's not going to be the main financier, he is going to help strategically and financially. Assuming that some of the MMTCs, the current industry players, will also be contributing for this push. So I'm excited to see it, and I hope that it's drafted in a very sensible, reasonable way.
Now, we heard earlier from Dara Kim of News Service of Florida saying if this ramps up, expect significant pushback from a legal standpoint. What sorts of challenges do you anticipate this measure appearing on the ballot?
Well, it's hard to answer that question so early right now with this announcement because we haven't seen the language that people will be voting for this particular amendment. So there's a lot of policy decisions that will be placed into drafting this. You know, how many licenses will be issued, whether or not these licenses will be vertically integrated or horizontal, what sort of products will be allowed. Those types of decisions will really kind of craft the opposition's arguments against it. For example, some states choose not to put the ability for adults to have home grow in their adult use ballot ballot language because they believe that that would give the opposition a toehold to really push back against it. So in Washington, they chose not to put home grow in their adult use push, while Colorado did. Both passed. But that's a policy decision that those drafters made. It remains to be seen what this language will look like. But, you know, maybe we loop back around once we see the language and we'll kind of be able to craft a little bit more guidance on it.
It's a brave new world, isn't it? Because as we're talking about as well, the possession of hemp is now legal. The state passed a new hemp law last month. That's changed things, too.
Absolutely. So earlier this summer, the governor signed the Florida Hemp Farming Bill. And what that's going to do is allow individuals who want to cultivate hemp to get a license to do so. It also removed hemp extracts removed hemp from the Florida CSA, the criminal code, so that now it's legal to to have hemp. And of course, as you mentioned earlier in the call, that's creating kind of an issue with police officers who are pulling over people. They can't, you know, because hemp and marijuana smell the exact same, it's hard to, for them to differentiate between the two. So, some jurisdictions within Florida are kind of throwing their hands up and saying, you know, we're just not going to prosecute, you know, not going to be able to prosecute for, pulling someone over and just using sniff and search. We can't use that as probable cause anymore. You know, I hope that what this does is really start the conversation towards a decriminalization and adult use reasonable laws. You know, I think there's some groups out there trying to kind of create a test that, you know, would make officers be able to tell the difference. But instead of, you know, trying to create the test so that we can criminalize this drug, instead we should, you know, kind of shift the conversation to just stopping, you know, criminalizing this in the first place.
And if you're just tuning in, we're continuing the hour-long conversation here this Friday on the Florida Roundup around the changing politics of pot, marijuana, cannabis here in Florida with Representative Chevron Jones of Broward County, Derek Ham, News Service of Florida. Also with us, Attorney Sally Kent Peebles, who serves on a state committee looking at medical cannabis, and your calls. It's 305-995-1800. Omar in Hollywood has been holding. Hey, Omar, are you still with us? You're on the air. All right.
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing today?
Go ahead, Omar.
Hello. So I'm Omar. I'm 31-year-old. I live in Hollywood. I grew up here. I feel as though even though the state legislation and conservative representatives might not approve for legalization of old marijuana use in the state, these small steps that we're taking is better for our community because we are one community and we're putting these young boys and girls in prison where they can have a bright future and contribute to our state and be good citizens in the state of Florida. And that builds a better image for us as a state for the rest of our nation to look up to us. That's my one take. Mm-hmm. The reality is that there are a few private prisons here in South Florida. They will lobby against this so that they can gain benefits from it and keep inmates and keep their businesses running. But I support it. I have never smoked marijuana. I don't mind if my neighbor smokes or whoever smokes. I'm part of the millennium groups that sees a little differently. I respect my elders, but I wish they could see our side and see that we are the future and our children that we are having now, they're our future. We want to make Florida a better state for everyone.
Omar, thanks for that. Representative Jones, from where you sit in the legislature, as he pointed out, there will certainly be powerful vested interests who oppose your bill. What about his comments? It's interesting to hear the generational divide on this issue from younger callers. They have a very different take than maybe their parents or grandparents. But what about his comment about the state's private prison industry?
So I'll be honest. I can't speak to those individuals who will lobby against the bill. My hope is that the way that I present this bill to my Republican colleagues who might disagree with this will come from a level of cost savings for the state. But I also want to go to his first ask. What he said as far as young people is concerned, to go back to something that was said as far as youth being incarcerated, or what the leadership and Republican leadership says about it being it deals with brain development. So we know that substance use may not be good for their brain development, but we have to address that from a public health strategy and not through criminal procedure, because we don't have the most current data available for this last year. But I've been notified that 20 kids in Broward County last year that received felonies for possessing THC. So these are young people losing their scholarships, their driving privileges, maybe getting prison time, probation, and all of these enormous fines. So I thank Omar for making that statement when it comes to our youth. And me as a millennial also, I do wish the tides change a tad bit. But I also know that, you know, in all of these things, of course, there will be individuals that will lobby against something like this. I don't know what groups or how that looks, but my hope is that we look at this from a cost savings perspective here within the state of Florida.
Dara Camp, do you see those arguments gaining traction or not? As you've been saying, you still see this being a politically contentious fight in Florida.
Well, I do see it as a contentious fight. I don't think it's an ageist attitude. Because some of the people that I talked about who are against full legalization are millennials, and certainly baby boomers grew up. You know, with a wake and bake. So I don't think that it's that, and we had all demographics supporting medical marijuana in Florida 3 years ago. So I don't think it's based on that. There's any kind of variance based on that. And I will say that these studies that the Republican leadership point to about the negative impacts of marijuana on the developing brain. People push back against those and say, you know, that they are not really, that they're overstating what the reality is. And I don't want to advocate one way or another. I'm just saying that's what they rely on. It politically charged issue. I think that if the federal government does in fact deschedule marijuana as a Schedule I drug, that would make it easier. It would give them shade for Republican leaders to embrace marijuana as okay. I think that would be a step in the right direction. And also, Sally raises a good point, and what John said to me the other day, if we get the medical marijuana operators who are spending upwards of $50 million to purchase medical marijuana treatment center licenses in Florida today, more than that, then they have plenty of money to spend on a constitutional amendment, getting the signatures and getting it onto the ballot. So I don't think that money will be an issue in that arena. It's just a question. It is getting a little bit late in the game. They have to have all of their signatures in by, I think it's February of next year. And so it's a little bit late to start that effort. And a lot of it will depend on the language of the proposal. Remember that in Florida, we had the first attempt at getting medical marijuana passed failed. And so 2 years later, they rewrote it, they tweaked it a little bit, and it did pass. I think the attitudes, I mean, everyone's attitudes towards marijuana have shifted. And the use of it as a medical treatment, which it is now, it is a legitimate medical treatment for people with a whole host of ailments, has normalized it. It is becoming normalized. I just don't see our state, a pretty conservative state, embracing full legalization yet.
Well, it's been so illuminating to speak with both of you. Thanks so much, Representative Chev Jones, Democrat of Broward County. Dara Camp, reporter with the News Service of Florida. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And this is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Right now, we're going to speak to another expert. It's Holly Bell. She's the state's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Director of Cannabis. And as we continue talking about cannabis in Florida, we don't want to leave out hemp. The state's new hemp law went into effect on July 1st, and Holly's department is the regulating body for this new industry. Holly Bell, thanks so much for joining the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So this new law went into effect last month. What are the key things it covers?
So Bill 1020 that the Florida Senate passed covers some very key things. That is, first of all, it redefined the cannabis plant in the state of Florida to mirror the Farm Bill from 2018, which created a new category that I call industrial hemp. And that classifies industrial hemp as the cannabis plant that has 0.3 of THC Delta 9 or less, which then took that off the Controlled Substance Act and made it legal. And that gave us our state hemp program. Then the bill outlines some very specific things about how to grow it, how to label it, how to protect consumers, and it creates a hemp advisory council. So also defines how the extract is defined as a human ingestible product so that we can protect consumers.
How much of a cash cow, a crop boom, do you expect hemp to become for Florida once the program is fully in place?
So if you look at where the hemp industry landed in 2018 nationwide, it was right at $1 billion with double to triple digit growth. And that's expected to grow for the next 2 to 3 years is what all the forecast is saying. I believe that in the first year, it'll be a multi-million dollar industry in 2020 for Florida, with it becoming very quickly a multi-billion dollar industry.
Let's talk about CBD as well, another product derived from hemp. You can get it everywhere at the gas station, a vape shop, the grocery store. It's everywhere. Not well regulated yet. How will the new program help consumers regulate this product, CBD?
So with the passage of the bill and the language that's in there, the labeling is what's really going to protect our consumers. And what the bill says is that the labeling must provide a QR code or barcode that a consumer can scan. It takes them back to a COA that's done by a third-party ISO-certified lab that a consumer can look and see what is in that product they're about to purchase and put in their body. So it will give them some very good testing requirements that will protect them and make sure they know what they're ingesting.
I don't know if you saw this, Holly, but according to a new poll, CBD is now a more popular web search than the Kardashians. They have knocked the Kardashians off the top of the rankings. This product,
wow.
CBD, for the first time in 10 years. So I know you're a busy lady as you deal with this brand new industry for the Sunshine State. And as we continue talking about marijuana and also hemp, we're going to go to your calls and tweets on the Florida Roundup after a short break. Lots of tweets coming into the show. Here's just one from Cole. The state needs to get on board with what the people want. This is long overdue. Legalize it, he says. Do you agree? Maybe disagree? Get on the line now. It's 305-995-1800. More to come in a moment here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio.
Did you know that marijuana is now legal in most states? That's just crazy to me, because back in my day, everyone had a dealer named Marcus or Julius, and they would meet you in the Vons parking lot with a dime bag of, or a little piece of tinfoil with some weird shavings or tree bark or God knows what it was, and you were happy to have it. Now you just waltz in and buy a bag of gummy bears and trip balls, you know? Where's the danger? Where's the romance?
That's Will Ferrell's alter ego, Ron Burgundy. Did you catch him on TV last night? Good old Ron paid a visit to all of the late night shows to promote his new podcast he was there for. But of course, he also worked in a little bit about the changing times when it comes to marijuana. Part of our show, too, today here on the Florida Roundup. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. As we continue our conversation with cannabis attorney Sally Kent Peebles of Vicente Cedarburg, and also with us Holly Bell with the state's consumer services. She's director of cannabis. Before we get back to your call, Sally Kent Peebles, it's funny to hear Ron Burgundy talking about the changing culture. But you're seeing that in real life in the legal arena. This is a very busy and growing field, cannabis law, right?
Absolutely. It's very exciting. I mean, when I went to law school, cannabis law didn't really even exist. It's not something you can specialize in. And in certain law schools around the country right now, it's one of the most requested classes by incoming law students. And it's really a great field to practice in because it touches everything. We have corporate law, compliance, real estate. The fact that marijuana is still illegal at the federal level really changes the analysis of most legal issues. So it's been a really fun field to be in, and I got to tell you, the clients are great.
Let's go to Art in Port Orange. He's got some thoughts about cannabis and revenue from it. Hi, Art. How are you? Go ahead. Hey, Art.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Representative Jones that possession of marijuana should be decriminalized. I think that marijuana should be legalized at the state and federal level. Some of the tax revenue can be used for education and rehabilitation of individuals who have real drug problems. Those problems aren't caused by marijuana use. Marijuana should be removed from the Schedule I drug list. Marijuana can be treated similarly to alcohol with regard to use by minors. Decriminalization of marijuana will unburden the courts and allow individual choice in regard to a victimless recreational activity.
Art, thanks for your thoughts. Certainly, those arguments are holding sway in a growing number of states. At the same time, Holly Bell, you're here to talk more about the hemp side of things. Now, that caller said he believes the more we can regulate and tax these products, whether it's cannabis or hemp, the better for the state's coffers. Let's be clear when we explain to people there's a difference between hemp and cannabis in terms of the chemical makeup of the product. Can you explain that to everyone for us?
So I can. It really comes into play. The cannabis plant has over 100 cannabinoids in it, one of which is the compound THC Delta 9, which is typically the cannabinoid that everybody thinks of when they think of cannabis that gets you high, as they call it. So the difference is that the level of the THC in a hemp plant is 0.3 or less. Anything in medical-grade marijuana and other adult-use cannabis is typically much higher than that. It actually averages at probably over 10%. So no matter how much of the hemp you smoke, you're not going to get the high
right.
that you do from the other high THC products.
Right.
That's the basic difference.
That's the difference. Melissa is on the line in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to weigh in as a former resident of Colorado. I was there when we voted to legalize marijuana. And I have no opposition to hemp products. I think they're valuable and useful. However, one of the things that we saw in Colorado happen over time was the byproducts that come from marijuana that has THC in it, such as, you know, products like shatter and high concentrates of oils and things like that. And I think one of the unintended consequences of making highly concentrated products like this is that the kids get their hands on it very, very easily. And we're starting to see kids that have extreme marijuana addiction there. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and in my own practice, I specialize in anxiety. I saw an increase in individuals coming in with extreme anxiety, and my first question was always, how much marijuana do you smoke? And initially, people would smoke it because they would get relief, and then they would have a severe rebound effect and have much higher anxiety. So I think access was and is a big issue, and who can get their hands on these products? How do we make it safe? And again, I get that certain percentage of kids are going to experiment or try it. I think it's a setup for failure when they are able to get their hands on products that are 10 or 15 or 100 times more potent than your average joint. We don't know what kind of brain damage that does. How it interferes.
And Melissa, I appreciate your thoughts as a Colorado transplant. That's Melissa in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks for that, Melissa. I want to get Sally Kent Peebles to respond to that as our attorney that specializes in these issues. And Sally, you also used to live in Colorado. So what about Melissa's concerns and what she observed in Colorado after full legalization?
Well,
it's a valid argument, but it's an argument for regulation. So these children are going to get access to these products either way. We should regulate it, make sure that people have to be ID'd and over 21. The products themselves need to be tested for purity and safety. These laws will provide consumer protections that are non-existent right now. It's just like what we saw with alcohol. We saw how regulation works over prohibition in that instance. You know, during prohibition in the 20s, people were arrested for using and making alcohol. High usage still remained. And at the same time, a strong black market arose with organized crime controlling it, just like we're seeing now with marijuana prohibition. And in response to that, the states then demanded in the 30s to repeal the federal prohibition of alcohol. And they returned the regulatory power to the states, replacing criminal bans with laws regulating quality, potency, and the commercial sale of alcohol. And that's what we need to see here with marijuana. Let's eradicate the black market. Let's improve the quality and safety of the products. Let's generate tax revenue for the state and allow police enforcement the time and effort to focus on the more serious crimes.
And
regulation works. The drug war has failed.
And this is the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Holly Bell, that is certainly your wheelhouse, the regulation of this product, in particular hemp. How confident are you that the state can adequately regulate this brave new world we're in? As Sally said, looking to the lessons of the prohibition era, that's been referenced quite a bit as states have moved more toward legalizing and regulating THC, cannabis, and hemp. How confident are you? Because this is a big job for you and your department. There's a lot of moving parts as we've been discussing, right?
There are. I'm very blessed to work in a department that has a very talented and diverse, deep bench strength, I would call it, of skilled people that know how to regulate this type of an industry. So I feel very confident that we're going to do a great job and we're going to be able to follow the bill, which gave us a great outline, and we're going to stand up a great program with great regulation. And I feel really good about that.
And Sally, let's bring it back to the other big talker we've had for throughout the hour. As activists try to get an amendment on the ballot in 2020 in Florida to ask voters to fully legalize cannabis, do you anticipate them being successful, or is the time frame and the obstacles just too significant for them to overcome? What should we expect in 2020?
I believe that if they can get the required funding, it is going to be expensive. I've seen different numbers thrown around, $10, $12 million. But if they can get the funding, and I think the funding is there, if the right sources are put pressure on, I believe that the Florida voters will pass it. There was a poll came out about a month ago that said 65% of Florida voters would vote for adult use. And I do hope it does pass.
Obviously, you're in favor of it, but as we've been discussing, getting an amendment before the voters is no easy task. You see people out on street corners all over the place trying to get petition signatures. That it's a huge lift, a high bar.
And it comes down to finances. Our firm has been very integral in working with different campaigns around the United States. We were integral with the Amendment 64 passing in Colorado. What I've learned from those in my firm, that it really comes down to finances. And I think if we have the right finances in there, we can get enough boots on the ground to get signatures, enough people out there educating those who are, in the naysayer camp, and getting this passed for the voters of Florida.
Well, ladies, you have provided so much valuable information to everyone across the state listening, so we thank you so much. What an interesting hour on cannabis. Thank you, Holly Bell. She is the director of cannabis at the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Thanks, Holly. Sally Kent Peebles, a partner at the Vicente Cederberg firm and a member of Florida's Medical Cannabis Advisory Committee. Sally and Holly, we so appreciate your time on the show this Friday. Have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing your insights with all of us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And that is our show for today. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, and tweeted. the Florida Roundup. This show is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are producers. Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, Technical Director. Director of Radio Operations is Peter Mertz. We had engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Brady Corum. Our theme music by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Friday. Have a great weekend.